adjust that. There we go. Can y'all hear me? I plan on it. I don't know how well it's going to go, but I plan on it.
You want this?
No, it's all right. I can move up here.
All right.
We're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:8. Yeah. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm just going to use this for a springboard. You know, so. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished, and your brethren that are in the world. But God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make your perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. All right. Well, man, Nathan preached a good message on flags. Amen. That was good. And I'm just going to, like, you know, it kind of actually, you know, goes together, kind of. And it's about comfort. And be careful what your comfort zone you're in. Amen. And I'm going to preach about 3 comfort zones that you should, the first 2 you shouldn't be in. So if you are, adjust yourself. And so,
pray.
Oh, yeah, pray. Okay. Chris, pray for me.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you be with us tonight. I pray that you empty my brother here of himself, Lord.
Amen.
Pray that you be with him, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around him, Lord. I pray, God, that you have him say what you will
God.
Say.
Amen.
I pray
Amen.
That you keep the devil away from
Amen.
Him, Lord. I
Amen.
Pray that you help him, and I pray you strengthen him. In Jesus' holy and blessed name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, so the first thing about comfort, and it just popped in my head when I was sitting there, and so I was thinking, I was like, man, when did I first hear this word comfort zone, right? I never heard it before. I'm like, it's kind of a new concept, you know, when I first started, you know, when I first got right with the Lord, and I realized that was the first time I ever heard it. I'm like, man, why is that the first time I ever heard it? Because when I was wicked, I mean, when we did things, we didn't care about a comfort zone. There was no comfort zone. So we'd do something, we'd be like, I bet you won't do that, and we'd go do it, and there was no comfort zone. We're like, it's not about comfort zone, you know? And the first time I ever heard it was when I got right, when like, I'll go pass out a track. That's out of my comfort zone. I can't do that. What?
Yeah.
That's it. That's weird how we're out of our comfort zone there, but when we're wicked, we're not. You know, it's kind of like the wooden Indian thing. You know, you go to a ball game, you scream like Apache Indian. You come to a church, you sit like a wooden Indian. You know, it's kind of like that, I guess, you know. And so the definition of comfort in 1828 is to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer or enliven. So that's the definition of comfort, 1828, and that's, I believe that. So self-comfort is my first, you know, comfort zone. And it's not being, I'm not talking about being mindful of your flesh. Like, you know, if you got a heart problem or something, taking medicine, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, you should definitely take care of your body. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19, I got it marked. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Thought I had it marked. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. So you should definitely take care of your body. I mean, you shouldn't be eating McDonald's all the time. You should be taking care of it, exercising regularly, and just keep yourself, you know, in good shape. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about self-comfort, riding in a GMC, you know, with the electric windows and stuff. I like that kind of stuff. You know, I'm talking about self-comfort as in, like, always being, you know, always being down with your flesh. Like, if your flesh wants to go watch TV instead of read your Bible, you go watch TV NCIS. Like, that's the stuff I'm talking about. You shouldn't be doing that. If you need to read your Bible, go read your Bible. You know, push yourself. You know, Eric, you know, you work out. When you're trying to grow, you don't be like, you know, I want to get a big bicep. I go eat a McDonald's burger. That's not how it works. You know, you don't put junk in your body and expect to get big, you know. And you got to work out. You know, you got to strain the muscles. And that's the same thing with the Christian work. You know, if you want to get smarter and, you know, God, you want to get smarter, intellectual, you read books. Amen. You know, you want to be read, you read. You want to be quoted, you quote. Amen. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. And So 6:19. This is self-comfort, which is 1 Peter 5:8-10. You're talking about the you know, just denying yourself. Paul talked about this a lot. You know, you have to put your flesh in subjection. You can't just let it roam, whatever. Because if you let your flesh roam, you know, it's one of your enemies. Jesus talks about it in Ephesians. You know, you got to keep the thing under subjection. And Paul talked about him dying daily. He always said, "I die daily." You know, I'm trying to think of the verse about I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, and Paul talked about that. Paul always talked about dying daily. And you got to die daily, not physically, you know, just like, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself. But you want to die daily, like, as in, like, when you get up in the morning and you want to just watch TV and cartoons on a Saturday morning, you go read a, you know, commentary or something about the Bible. You know, you do that, you know. You got to die daily because nobody really wants to read them big textbooks and stuff in the Bible. Well, actually, the Bible, listen, if you love, listen, if you're, Jesus is your Savior, the Bible shouldn't be a textbook. It should be a treasure book. Well, come on now. And so, that's a quote, by the way. But so the world's agenda is to entertain you, so keep you entertained. So if you ever notice, I mean, football games, basketball games, I mean, every kind of game, you know, you got TV 24/7. You know, and everything's always trying to entertain you, you know, work. Next, you know, you got to make more money, got to go make more money. And everything's always trying to get you more entertained, the next thing, the next thing. And if you live your life that way, you'll never have Jesus in it because the world's always got the next thing for you. And God wants the people that are going to slow it down and just be like, man, what's next for God, you know? And just take time out for God because that's what it is. It talks about, you know, taking time out early in the morning. And nobody wants to wake up early. I especially don't. And so that's one of the things, like, I don't want to wake up, so I got to wake up. I got to push myself. You know, I got to get out of my comfort zone. And so the comfort zone. So in the early church age, you know, the persecution was real big back then, you know, and that's when the church grew. You know, Philadelphia and church age and all them guys really grew. You know, 4,000 people getting saved at one time. But, and Bill Grady said this, and I really liked it, so I wrote it down. So he said, what Bloody Mary couldn't do, American Express can. And that's what, you know, the devil, I guess, picked up. You know, he said, Bloody Mary, you know, he can kill all the Christians you want, but it's just going to multiply them. But you give them an American Express card, you know, you kill them all out. I mean, everybody's in their comfort zone watching, you know, TV on a 70-inch screen. So, and I really like that quote, you know, just talking about just how money can just flip a switch and everybody's got comfort zones now because you can buy them, I guess. I don't know what it is. I really don't know what a comfort zone is. I just hear it all the time, especially in college, Bible college. Oh, that's out of my comfort zone. We play this game, what are the odds, you know, and it's a stupid game, but you get yourself to do something really crazy. And when we're talking about dumb stuff, like, you know, going to run across a field and scream, stuff like, I'll do it. Anybody do it. Talk about preaching about Jesus. I literally asked the question, I said, you know, who wants to go preach about Jesus? What are the odds? And nobody would give me odds except my buddy did. One person out of like 15. Now, that shouldn't be a case, especially out of Bible college, you know. And I love the guys I'm with there, but it's just like, man, what's this comfort zone that's holding you back from Jesus? What is that? It's like an imaginary force that's holding you back to Jesus that you like need to shred through. I don't know. I'm really trying to figure it out, guys, like literally. I mean, for a while, I have been trying to figure this out. So the problem is self-control, it's literally puts you spiritually asleep. So if you stay in your little comfort bubble, all it is, it just makes you, just rocks you to sleep, and then you don't ever do nothing for Jesus, and then you'll die, get to heaven, and then realize how much you could have done for Jesus. You know, and that's what it is. So that's my first comfort zone. The next comfort zone is just as bad. It's called the sin comfort, and people being okay with sin, just it's just a little sin. You know, I'm preaching right to myself, man. And just little things like, oh, man, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I'm not killing somebody. You know, I'm not doing all that stuff. And it's really, I mean, you know, the kids that are the best kids are really the worst kids pretty much because they're like, you know, I'm not doing that kind of bad stuff. You know, I'm out and I'm not selling drugs or anything, but I'm a Christian kid. I go to you know, church. I go to college. That ain't the case, you know. And it's all, when you go to that next level, you know, you don't got them big sins, it's time to get rid of the little sins. Amen. And then when you get to where you don't got no sins, you're probably going to be in heaven. So Amen. So don't get comfortable with sin. Being okay, don't be okay with learning your sins. 2 Timothy 4:10.
Amen, brother. That's good.
Amen. 4:10. So this is my example for this one, is for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, and Galatia, Titus, and Dalmata. I'm not good with them words. I can barely read as it is, long less them. And you know, Demas walked with probably the greatest Christian of all time, and he still fell away. Why was that? It wasn't because, you know, you can walk right next to Pastor Iman all your life, and he might be a really good Christian. That doesn't mean you're a good Christian.
Right.
That's just the case.
Yep.
And so don't be comfortable with sin, because obviously Demas had found a sin somewhere that he kind of liked, because it says he loved this present evil world.
Right.
You know, So don't get comfy with things that you do that, well, it's not bad. Well, it says for a man, no good, and do it not to him, it's sin. So if you're not doing good, you know, that goes back to that comfort zone. If you're not doing as good as you can be, that's a sin. So, and I believe that.
Amen.
So don't get comfy with sin. It'll kill you. And Galatians 5:9. Galatians 5:9. A little leaven, leavened the whole lump. And so, I mean, just a little bit can mess up everything, really.
Right.
And if you get like a prestige mission, like one little, you know, one small, there's no margin for error. That's the same thing with Christian life. I mean, it's the greatest mission of all time. One little margin of error, if you don't do something right, you present the gospel wrong. I mean, you could potentially, I mean, you're talking to souls, you know. If you do something wrong, I mean, if your testimony slips because you can't handle yourself and you can't get them sins away, I mean, you could literally, I mean, your family members could go to hell because you couldn't hold a testimony.
Right.
And so that's the danger of sin comfort. Your sin affects others. Joshua 7:1 talks about Achan, you know, and Achan was so comfy. Just like most Christians, it was just a little bit of silver and gold and stuff, and he stuffed it under his tent. And nobody else knew, but God knew.
Right.
And that's the same thing with Christians today. I mean, nobody else might know about your sin, but you might be sleeping with it, and you might be cuddled up next to it. But God's coming for you.
Amen.
I mean, I hate to tell you that. And that scares myself because I got stuff hidden away that I don't want God. But God's coming, you know.
Amen.
He's coming for us. And
Amen.
And eventually, I mean, it didn't just affect Achan. I think 30,000 people died because of that. Just because one guy messed up. One guy liked to sin just a little too much, you know, and couldn't control himself. And the reason why I did it is because comfort zone. Because just to have some money, you know, just to have a little bit in the bank, you know. He did that and just got in his little comfort zone and people died because of it. So just don't think it just affects you, you know. And comfort zone number 3 is comfort to our Savior. And this is the one you want to be in. You want to be in the comfort zone of the Savior. And I always thought about, man, Polycarp and them guys back then, you know, dying. I'm like, how did they get stoned? And like Paul getting stoned. I'm like, how do people get stoned, lit on fire? And they were just like chilling there, just like okay with it, you know, singing Amazing Grace and stuff. That's crazy to me. Like me, I'm like, you know, I burn my finger. I'm like, argh! You know, I'm going crazy, ripping the house down. So I don't know how they did it, but they did. So that sounds funny, but listen, ask my mom. Acts 27:25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it is told. So right here, Paul's in a big storm of his life, and the definition of comfort says to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, or enliven. So literally, Paul literally says, I mean, if we want to substitute a word here, which we won't because it's the King James, true word of God. And wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. So he's like, he's comforted by God, you know. You know, God literally comforted him in this storm. And that's the thing about the Savior, you know. If you're linked in with the Savior, he'll comfort you through them dark times. You know, the book says, I think in Psalms, it says that he inhabits the dark place, the thick darkness. You know, so as deep, as dark as it gets, that's where he likes it. You know, that's where God likes to be. The presence is where he likes to be, you know. And my friend preached the message, and I love it so much because, man, like, God likes the thick darkness. You know, because it doesn't affect him, you know. Whereas people, you put darkness over their eyes, and then you throw lights on, it messes their eyes up. Whereas God, it doesn't. You know, he can see night vision, day vision, everything. You know, so it doesn't affect him. You know, he likes the dark. So when people get all nervous in the dark, God's got this. And Paul, he was comforted. And it's comfy in the will of God. It really is. I mean, if you know you're doing something for God and you know that's what God wants you to do, it's just comfy.
That's right.
You can just chill there and you just keep going for God and just don't get in yourself comfort, but just stay in the Savior's comfort. And just, I mean, it's a good feeling. It really is. And but if you aren't in God's way, it talks about this in Acts 9 with Paul once again.
Amen.
Acts 9:3-4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's pretty much salvation, right? I mean, if you're not saved, it's hard to kick against the pricks. I mean, if God's starting to poke you like, man, you need to get saved, it's hard to kick against him. It feels like you're about to explode from the inside out. So as soon as somebody mentions something about Jesus, you want to explode, you know?
Amen.
And it's hard to say, well, because, I mean, you're literally denying a gift that's going to affect you forever.
That's
you know,
right.
It's hard to kick against that. And that's all I got, but I got a little poem. You know, I was taught it in like ninth grade, and you know, we had to know it. So it just came to my head when I started talking about comfort. It has really nothing to do with the message, but it has a lot to do with comfort, you know. And it's about the Holocaust when they first started coming in. It says, it's a guy, he was there when the Holocaust and he survived and he wrote this. And he said, "They came for the communists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I was a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up." And that's the thing, you know. I mean, don't let the devil pick off your friends. And that was another point I didn't get to, but don't let your friends get picked off by the devil because you're not speaking up for them. I mean, if you see your friend slipping, be like, "Hey, you know, chop, chop, let's go, man." You know, and if they don't like it, that's just the, you know, tough reality of being in their comfort zone. But, you know, they get snappy and like a little girl, but not like a little girl, but like a little softy, you know. You know what I mean? But that's all I got, guys.